verse, Hebrews 12:28. I want to share with you this morning some mistakes that I think we sometimes make when it comes to worship. One of the old preachers used to say, church starts at 11 sharp and often ends at 12 dull. We want to see if we can change that. Every service ought to be done in excellence. Every service ought to be the best we have to offer in adoration and praise and worship before our God. So in the 28th verse of the 12th chapter, we are encouraged to bring an acceptable worship before our Lord. But we'd have to go back to the 11th chapter to really grasp the why of that statement. Chapter 11 is filled with all of those great men and women of faith who walked in obedience, who did what ought to be done in excellent and God-honoring ways. And so when we come to the end of the 11th chapter, the writer of the Hebrew epistle tells us in chapter 12 that we are circled about, we're encompassed about by such a great cloud of witnesses that we ought to run our race, getting rid of sin in our lives and laying aside of any weight or habit that would keep us from running, and constantly and continually look to Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. He then reminds us that Jesus counted it joy to go to the cross, and that we should never despise God's reproving and corrective hand in our lives, because He loves us as a father loves a child, and therefore chastens us after that manner. And then He comes to this glorious passage where He accounts that Old Testament people came to the mountain of God, to a place that could actually be touched, ascended up into His presence, and saw His great Shekinah glory. But then He says, brothers and sisters, we don't come to the physical. We come to the spiritual. We come to the mountain where God dwells. We come to the kingdom of God. We come to a city that's been built without human hands. We come to the highest of all places and to the greatest of all people. We come into the presence of God. Verse 28 follows that. Then He says, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Father, in the name of Jesus, would You just now touch this service in might and in power, that You might be worshiped in spirit and in truth. Our hearts have rejoiced in the music. How we've been blessed by all of the little children that stood before us. We turn our hearts to You. We come back to worship and experience Your power and Your presence in this place. Be real to every one of us now. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to move quickly through several thoughts that I think we sometimes make a mistake when it comes to worship. Number one, we make a mistake when it comes to preparation. The old preachers used to say you can't run with the devil's crowd on Saturday night and worship the Lord on Sunday morning. That can mean a lot of things to a lot of people. What it really means, I think, is that Sunday morning worship must start before 11 a.m. There must be preparation. If it's nothing more than a quiet evening, a time of reflection, remembrance, a time to pray, a time to get ready to worship God when we come to His house. If it's nothing more than rising early enough so that you will not be late and stressed out by your lateness. If it's nothing more than making your mind up that nothing and no one is really going to separate you from the act of worship when you come to the house of the Lord. You see what the writer of the Hebrew epistle said. He said, lay aside every weight that besets you. Deal with any sin in your life. And then you come to the holy mountain of God. It is my suggestion that every one of us, ere we leave our room in the morning, as the songwriter says, we ought to think to pray. Preparation to worship is vital if real, authentic worship is going to take place. Number two, I think we make a mistake sometimes when we consider the person of worship. I've heard it said, and I know it's been thought more than said, well, I just didn't get much out of that service. Well, that's not the kind of song. That's not the kind of lesson. That's not the kind of service or sermon that I enjoy. Herein lies a great mistake. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but this isn't about you. It's not about me. It's not about us. The reason we don't get something out of the service is because we're really not supposed to get anything. We've come to give. We've come to worship the Lord in the Spirit and in the truth. We've come to bow down before Him because He's right and righteous, holy, worthy of all of our praise and our honor and our glory. Yes, it is true that you deserve to receive when you come to the house of God, but it is better that you receive the blessing of worship than to receive all of the entertainment, inspiration, and encouragement that man can offer. We make a mistake when we think about coming to church is more about us than it is about Him. There's a third error where I think sometimes we make a mistake. And as I read through these two chapters, 11 and 12, I thought about this. When we bring more of ourselves to church than we ought to, and here's what I mean. Pride destroys worship. Self-centeredness destroys worship. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. Leave everything outside except an humble and broken spirit, ready and willing to worship. That's what the text says. Get rid of your sin and lay aside every weight that besets you. You have not come here this morning to be stressed out about this or that or the other, to be overly concerned about something out there. Come in here, inside the house of God. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in Him. We've got to grasp the fact that if it's not about us, too much of us will destroy worship. Let there be so little of us. John said, let me decrease so that He might increase. And here's something else you may have never thought about. The principle of worship. How do we make a mistake about the very principle of worship? Listen, evangelism, discipleship, giving and praying and serving, all of these things grow out of worship, not the opposite. We don't come here to evangelize the lost so we can worship. We come here and worship because Jesus saves. We don't come here just to pray so that we can worship. We come here all prayed up, ready to praise Him who is worthy of our adoration. Yes, I know that God supplies all your needs, and your needs do need to be met by the God of heaven. I know you can cast all your care on Him, and your problems do need to be solved by the God of heaven. I know that He'll keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on Him, and you do need to have the peace of God that passes all understanding. But these are not the things that lead us to worship. We worship, and these things flow out of a right worship service and a right experience with Him. As I worship God, He gets so big that my problems get little. As I worship God, he gets so big that my enemies get little. As I worship God, my victory becomes so large in my sight that any loss I might have suffered becomes insignificant. All the things of the world fade away when I turn to Jesus, look full in his wondrous face. You know the song as well as I do. We get it backwards sometimes. We come with a big problem. We need to come to a big God and recognize the bigger our God, the less the issues that stress and frustrate and discourage us. There is this principle. Well, let me tell you something about praise and worship. It's not just about the count and the amount, or as somebody coined, nickels and noses. It's not how many are here. He said where two or three are gathered together. It's not how much we give. And this is a giving church, and your sacrificial giving is why we can break ground today and build a building. But here is what it's about. When Isaiah found himself in the temple of God, the first thing that he says is, I saw the Lord holy and on his throne. I saw him lifted up. I heard the cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And then he said, I saw myself and I cried, woe is me, for I'm undone and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Very simple suggestion. When you come to the house of God, stop looking around and start looking up. Because in that moment that you see a holy God, he will cause you to recognize what your need is, who you are, and how you and I are supposed to impact and influence the world in which we live. When the disciples were in worship, the Holy Spirit came upon them and filled that very place. When they bowed to pray, the place was shaken where they were assembled, and the Spirit of God moved in their midst. That's the principle and the praise of worship. Well, let's make it personal. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want to offend you. But let me tell you something. You have a choice today. You can either worship or not worship. You can be entertained. You can be instructed. You can enjoy the fellowship. You can like the time that we spend together. But when it comes to worship, it's your choice. You can worship even when there's a bad sermon. Isn't that good? You can worship even if the music's not what you want. You can worship even if the crowd's small. You can worship, now get this, even if somebody's sitting in your pew. You don't have to let anything or anybody stop you from worshiping, because your worship experience is not my responsibility, nor is it the choir's, nor is it the teacher's, nor is it your parents' or your children's or your spouse's. You must decide if you are going to worship. And I'll tell you, the Bible is filled with times when men all by themselves and women without anyone else around worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. If you look back to the book of Genesis, and I hope many of you have been reading this in Foundations the last few weeks, Jacob finds him a pillow made out of a rock, and he lays his head down on it, and he closes his eyes, and he begins to experience the presence of the Lord. And listen, he wakes up and he says, when I got here and I made camp, I didn't know God was in this place. But now I know God is in this place. And he named it Bethel. And Bethel was the place he returned to with his family years later, because Bethel was a marked place of worship where one single solitary man came into the presence of God. You can do the very same thing with a pillow made out of a rock And all by yourself, you can look up and find God and call that place Bethel. And without a pastor, without a singer, without four walls around you or 1,000 people beside you, you can make a choice to worship God in spirit and in truth. It's all about you choosing to worship Him. And let me close by saying this. Worship is a verb. It's an action verb. Worship is not about just sitting as a spectator and watching others in a worship service. Worship is about moving everything out and inviting the Holy Spirit in and closing yourself off to any distraction or any defeat or any discouragement, and giving honor and glory and praise to Almighty God. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. He's worthy of all our worship. Would you bow your heads, please? Father, in the quietness of this moment, may we see Jesus. May we know Him real to our hearts and our minds. So much noise in this world, so many distractions in this life, so much to trip us and to trap us, so much to turn us aside and call us away. Would you help us to lay aside every weight, to confess every sin, and simply look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Somebody here today may need to trust Him as Savior. Somebody here today may need to become a part of our church family. Somebody here today may need to commit themselves afresh to walking in obedience before You. So help us to just see Christ and Christ alone, to hear from Him and be willing to follow Him. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand quietly? As our choir leads us in a song of encouragement, our pastors will be in the altar. Each one of us have a decision to make, and that decision is totally and completely based on the question, what will I do with Jesus? While we sing together.
Worthy of worship, worthy of praise, worthy of honor and Savior. we can see.
Share two or three things with you and then some directions concerning our groundbreaking. Vacation Bible School meeting that was to be this afternoon at 5 will be rescheduled. David's father has had some difficulty with his heart over the weekend, and he's going to be with family this evening, so not be here for that meeting, but we will reschedule that. Also at 5, the youth event starts upstairs. And let me remind you, parents, again, it is a youth event. The subject material at halftime will be such that children really do not need to be up there this evening. They're welcome to come into the worship service and be with us here. Daryl asked me to announce that the Golden Age Fellowship will be this Thursday. Now, after I present to you one of our newest members, here's what we're going to do. You'll have about 15 minutes to greet our new member. If you have children in the nursery, then you need to get them and meet us near the flagpole. In that area, we have a sound system set up, and it'll be a very brief service outside, but I'd love for you to stay. And if you must leave, please remember there'll be a big crowd in the area near the flagpole and the driveway there, so be careful as you drive away to either go out the back or to come around for the front. It won't take but about 10 minutes, so I do hope you will stay. Hannah, would you come stand here? Hannah King, and she comes from Jackson, Tennessee, from the Englewood Baptist Church by moving her letter here. If you'll give her a big central welcome. On your way out, come by and shake her hand and tell her how happy you are that she's now a part of the Central family. And parents, listen, as you leave this morning, we have some little souvenir shovels for all the kids. We want you to make sure you get one. They won't dig, they're too small, but they will be wonderful to remember the hand of God and the blessings of God upon our church today. So I'm going to pray for us. You'll be dismissed. Parents, get your children. Move out that direction. Adults, every one of you, we'd love for you to stay with us, but don't forget to say hi to Hannah before you go. Father, it's been a great day. Thanks for all the special guests. Thanks for the very special part of the day that we now can anticipate the building of our children's building to your glory and to the good of all the kids that go to church here and all those that will be attracted and drawn to this place because they see that we care. Father, thank you for this addition to our church. Just receive honor and glory from us both now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.